Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Our mission today, well, it's to dig a stack of sources focused on developing a powerful internal compass.
Yeah, and distill exactly what you need to know.
We are diving deep into integrity, specifically integrity in this digital age we're all navigating.
And our main source here is Lesson 9 from Dr. Scott Taransky's new video course, How a Heart-Based Approach Changes Everything.
Right. And Dr. Taransky, people might know him from the National Center for Ripple Parenting. He's got, what, 18 books? 7 other courses?
Something like that, yeah. He brings a very practical, biblical, but really foundation-first approach. And he treats integrity not as some sort of, you know, soft skill.
A nice to have.
Exactly. But as a mandatory structural life skill. It's fundamental.
And that definition he gives is, I think, key to the whole thing. Integrity isn't just telling the truth.
No, it's way more.
It's having a strong heart that listens to the conscience and chooses truth, even when that choice costs something.
Yeah, that cost idea, that's the pivot, isn't it? It's what separates real maturity from just, you know, following rules when it's easy or convenient.
Makes sense.
And to help us visualize that internal strength, the source uses this great analogy of a bridge.
Oh, the bridge, like that.
Yeah. We talk about structural integrity, right? Does a bridge have the internal design, the right materials to withstand huge pressures?
Like heavy trucks or storms.
Exactly. Internal and external pressures. Integrity is that same kind of internal reinforcement.
The kind we need to actually build into our kids and young people so they can handle, well, modern life.
Precisely. It's what helps them hold up. And the source really emphasizes that this strength, it shows up in lots of different areas. Different zones, he calls them.
Okay, zones. That shows how broad it is, right? Not just honesty.
Absolutely. It's not just about not telling a big lie.
So let's unpack some of those zones.
Mm.
Because, yeah, they range from how you handle feelings to screen time, which is huge today.
Okay. First one listed is emotional management.
How does that relate to integrity?
Well, can a child manage that impulse to just react, you know, with anger or anxiety or maybe crushing disappointment when things don't go their way.
Okay. Yeah. So having the integrity to manage yourself instead of just lashing out.
Exactly. That takes internal strength. And then, of course, there's the more obvious stuff. Basic honesty.
Right.
And responsibility and follow through. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah. The classic test, isn't it? Do they actually finish a job and do it well? Or just do the bare minimum?
Just check the box, that shortcut mentality. Yeah.
That pops up everywhere.
It does. And then you have the more modern pressure zones, peer pressure, obviously, resisting friends who are pushing them to do wrong things.
Always relevant.
But maybe the most relevant for listeners today is digital management.
Definitely.
Handling those temptations to go places online they shouldn't, or even just the overuse, you know, letting electronics crowd out responsibilities.
It's a constant battle for many families.
And the source also connects a strong work ethic to integrity. Not giving in to laziness, you know, working hard even when you don't feel like it.
That's interesting. So motivation isn't the point. Doing the right thing is.
Right. That plus the courage to actually admit when you've messed up.
Oof, that's hard.
It is. And even managing one's own spiritual growth, all these things, they show how building this internal strength, this integrity, it really equips kids.
Give them the resources they need for those tricky teen years and, well, adulthood.
And if you zoom out, you see the power of this heart-based approach. You're not just reacting to problems.
You're building character proactively.
Across every part of their life. So they can, as Proverbs 10.9 says, walk securely. The verse goes on. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. That security comes from integrity.
That internal walk. Okay, so that brings us to looking beneath the surface. When dishonesty does happen.
Right, because it will.
The source groups it into 4 main areas. The observable stuff.
Yeah.
Lying. Stealing, cheating, and mischievousness. But the real takeaway here is don't just focus on that. Don't just treat the symptom.
Absolutely critical. If you only deal with the surface behavior, you're basically playing whack-a-mole. You have to troubleshoot the deeper things.
The heart issues.
The heart issues. What's driving the behavior? That's the question.
Okay, so let's take lying. What are the common roots the source points to?
Often it's fear. Fear of punishment, fear of disapproval. Sometimes it's that desire for approval, you know, wanting to look good to friends or parents.
Or maybe just laziness.
Yeah, simple laziness. Looking for a shortcut to avoid work or consequences.
And stealing. What's typically behind that?
That often points to things like greed or a real sense of discontentment, feeling like they don't have enough or even entitlement.
Like they deserve something they didn't earn.
Precisely.
Cheating feels really common now, especially with school pressures. What drives that lack of integrity?
Impatience, definitely. Fear of failure is a big one. That desire for praise again. Or just not having the perseverance to stick with something when it gets hard.
It's interesting how often fear and shortcuts seem to pop up in these.
They really do underpin a lot of it.
And the last one, mischievousness. That testing boundaries, getting a thrill.
That's often about seeking power or attention.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, just the thrill of seeing what you can get away with.
So understanding these motivations is key. It helps you guide the heart, not just punish the action.
That's the whole point. Integrity needs intentional practice. You have to build it.
Right. Let's talk practice then.
Yeah.
Because the source gives 9 pretty practical strategies. Some sound quite challenging, actually.
They can be.
Number 1 is foundational. Focus on the heart, not just the lie itself.
And this loops back to that formula for temptation. Desire plus opportunity.
Desire plus opportunity. Temptation.
Yeah. The child has these desires, and the source calls them unbridled. They're undisciplined, maybe pointed in the wrong direction, haven't learned patience.
Okay.
So until those desires are, let's say, tamed or redirected, parents have to be strategic about limiting the opportunities for failure.
Especially with things like electronics.
Especially electronics. Limit the access, yes, but always be working on the why behind the desire.
Uh-huh.
Limit opportunity until the desire is better controlled.
Got it. Limit access while you build capacity.
Yeah.
Okay, strategy 2. This one sounds tough for parents. Be careful about arguing with a child who lies.
Oh, it's incredibly counterproductive to argue. The child just digs in, comes up with more excuses, more lies, becomes a battle of wits they try to win.
So what do you do?
The advice is stop the discussion. Just say stop talking or tell them to take a break. Go sit somewhere quiet, like the hall or their room, and they can only come back when they're ready to say, I lied.
Well, but what if they just refuse for hours?
Yeah.
I mean, life has to go on, right?
That's the tension. The source acknowledges it's really hard. It might mean a standoff.
A fun one?
Potentially. But the argument is holding that line teaches responsibility. It puts the onus for confessing on the child, not on the parent's ability to cross-examine them.
Okay, and there's a crucial difference here, isn't there?
Mm.
Between when you know they lied versus when you only suspect.
Yes, very important distinction. If you know you saw it, there's clear digital proof, whatever, then you press for the confession. They need to practice admitting truth.
Even if it takes time.
Even if it takes time. But if you only suspect maybe something's broken, nobody's confessing, you express your disapproval about the situation, the lack of maturity shown, but you don't force a confession you can't prove.
Because that leads to endless arguments and guessing games.
Exactly. It stops that unproductive cycle.
Okay. Strategy 3. Increase accountability, especially digital. This feels non-negotiable today.
It really is. Accountability helps build integrity because the child knows someone is watching, someone cares. It develops that internal muscle.
And the practical examples really hit home here. Like computers have to be used in common areas, kitchen, dining room.
Not locked away in a bedroom. And accountability means actually checking history.
Right.
And being upfront. If you delete the history, that's hiding something and privileges are gone, period.
And setting clear boundaries around time and use.
Absolutely. If homework requires, say, 20 minutes on Snapchat for a group project, okay, 20 minutes, then it's off. Maybe all electronics off by 9 p.m.
These limits aren't punishment, they're protection.
They protect kids who haven't yet shown they can handle that freedom responsibly. Protection helps build that internal strength.
Okay, strategy 4 takes us away from screens. Using the instruction routine for integrity practice. This really broadens things.
Yes, because integrity isn't just about big lies or screens. It's built in the everyday stuff, chores, following instructions properly.
Like the towel example.
Exactly. Is the towel folded neatly in thirds over the rack or just kind of scrunched up? Is the trash can completely empty or are there bits left around the edges?
Cutting corners there is also a lack of integrity.
It absolutely is. It shows a lack of commitment to doing a thorough job, even in small things.
Yeah.
That needs to be built up. Integrity means doing it right, even when nobody's watching.
Okay, this next one is really interesting. Strategy 5, teach children about the integrity package. What is that?
It's basically explaining what valuable things they lose when they're dishonest. It's not just about getting caught.
What's in the package?
Asset A is the benefit of the doubt.
Ah.
The source tells this powerful story about Billy, a 14-year-old who'd stolen before. Some money goes missing, $5, I think.
And the mom immediately assumes it was him.
Yes, blames him publicly. But then the dad pikes up, oh, no, I put that away. Billy hadn't stolen this time.
But his reputation.
His reputation meant he lost the benefit of the doubt. That's a natural and really painful consequence of broken trust. It stings.
Yeah, that's a stark example. What's asset B?
Trustworthiness itself, which leads to more privileges.
Makes sense.
The example given is a mom going to a neighbor's. She leaves her trustworthy son home alone to do homework. But the untrustworthy son, he has to go with her.
Because she can't trust him alone.
Exactly. The integrity package directly links honesty with freedom and responsibility. Lose one, you lose the other.
Okay, strategy 6. Crucial when trust has been broken. Bring the secret out into the open.
Yeah. Dishonesty loves secrecy, doesn't it? Especially digital stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Making the behavior public in an appropriate way is a powerful, natural consequence.
So like the example of taking a kid back to the store if they stole candy.
Right. Having to return it, maybe apologize to the manager. It's embarrassing, yes. Yeah. But that visibility, making the secret not secret anymore, drives the lesson home.
And this applies to digital missteps, too, which can feel very private.
Absolutely. If a child viewed inappropriate images, confronting it means actually looking at the screen together, making the secret public between parent, child, and the device.
That sounds intense.
It is, but it makes it real. And it's a moment to remind them, gently, that nothing is truly secret. God sees everything. Bringing it into the light, even if it's just between you and them, is the first step toward healing.
Okay, strategy 7 flips to the positive. Affirm demonstrations of honesty. Catch them doing good.
Yes, we need to point out when they do show integrity, like, wow, you did a really thorough job on the lawn, or thank you for telling me about that trouble at school before I heard it from the teacher.
That takes courage.
It really does. And this is where the source talks about missions of honesty.
Missions of honesty. Tell me more.
It's like you give them a list of tasks to do while you're out. Then you check afterwards. Maybe you ask for a quick text update or a picture to show progress.
So structured practice in being trustworthy when alone.
Exactly. It helps them build that self-concept. I am someone who does the right thing, even when no one is watching me. It provides accountability and opportunity for success.
Number 8 brings us back to the foundation. Use scripture.
Because scripture reaches the heart in a way rules sometimes can't. We mentioned Proverbs 10.9 earlier. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely.
But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out.
Right. Memorizing verses like that helps build that internal compass, that conviction.
Okay, finally, strategy 9. This feels really important for reconciliation. Teaching children the road back. How to rebuild trust after the integrity package is lost.
Yes, because trust can be rebuilt, but it takes time and intention from both sides. The analogy here is great. Building a road of 500 bricks, or pavers.
500 bricks, okay.
Every time the parent checks up on homework, chores, whereabouts, they're not looking for failure, they're looking for success.
Checking for success, not on failure. I like that.
And each time the child successfully meets that expectation, completes the task honestly, follows through. That's another brick laid on the road back to trust.
So the parent has to actively participate by checking. They can't just wait and hope.
Exactly. The parent needs to take the risk of providing opportunities to trust, even small ones, and then follow up. They aren't granting full trust immediately, but they're actively looking for consistent, reliable behavior over time.
That checking up provides the accountability the child needs to actually lay those bricks.
Right. It breaks down this huge, vague idea of earning trust back into small, manageable daily actions, one brick at a time.
So wrapping this all up, what does this mean for you listening right now? We've seen that integrity, especially with all the digital pressures kids face, it doesn't just happen by magic.
No, definitely not. It takes really intentional strategies. From, you know, challenging a kid to admit they lied, all the way to teaching the value of folding a towel properly.
It's a broad spectrum.
But the core idea, that compass, stays the same. A strong heart listens to the conscience and chooses truth, even when it costs something.
And that cost might be effort, it might be facing fear, it might be embarrassment.
Whatever it is, choosing truth anyway.
So we really want to encourage you to think, what's one specific intentional step you could try this week? Maybe start a mission of honesty.
Or consciously look for opportunities to place, say, 10 bricks on that road back to trust with a child who's been struggling.
Or maybe just focus on digging a bit deeper, trying to understand the why behind a behavior, that underlying heart issue that's leading them toward those shortcuts.
Any intentional step makes a difference. And if you want to explore the full course this deep dive came from, you can find all the details at biblicalparenting.org.